till morning.
Chapter 28. The girls had decided to all crash at my place simply to get to a bed as quickly as possible. We weren't in the door 5 minutes before every one of us was passed out cold. I slept the kind of black hole sleep you can only get when every cell in your body is exhausted. It meant that when my phone started ringing, it scared the absolute shit out of me. Without looking at it, I answered and snapped, "What?" "Mr. Fenlon?" a strange man's voice asked. I held the phone up and squinted at it. The call was from an unknown number, and I couldn't remember the last time that had happened. I put the phone back to my ear, fully ready to rip a telemarketer a new asshole.
"Do you have any idea what time it is?"
"Yes, Mr. Fenlon, it is around noon your time," the voice interrupted. "I waited for fear of waking you. Island time isn't like regular time now, is it?" It took a moment to process that whoever I was talking to was polite, trying to be considerate and funny, and was most certainly not a telemarketer. I closed my eyes, took a breath, and calmed down.
"Yeah?
I'm calling to get a statement about the recent, zombie outbreak in Shalorna," he said. I opened my eyes and looked at the phone again before answering.
"What are you talking about?"
"My name is Harry Finty from Channel 7 News in Toronto, Canada. What can you tell me about the zombies being discovered in your town?" he asked again.
"I can tell you've lost your mind. There aren't any zombies here. Is this some kind of prank?"
My voice got louder with every word. Suddenly, both Veda and Freya's phones started ringing. As they sleepily reached for them, I returned my attention to the reporter.
"Don't call back. You don't know what you're talking about."
As I hung up, I could hear the man trying to persuade me to talk to him.
"We have it on good authority that zombie-like creatures—"
I tried to stop the girls from answering, but I was too late. And Sophie and Delaney's phone started ringing. It was as though I was in slow motion, watching each of them go through what I just had. The girls were a lot more polite than I was, but got off the phones as quickly as possible. The problem was, as soon as one of us hung up, they started ringing again. Channel 8, 10, 17, and 24 called, along with some random tabloid magazine before we got our phones on silent.
"What the hell is that all about?"
Veda asked, rubbing the sleep from her eyes.
"I have no idea, but it doesn't sound good," I said, getting up out of bed.
"Zombies, really?"
Veda scoffed. I put my phone down on my night table just as it started to vibrate. A shot of anger went through me until I saw that it was Irving calling this time. Picking it back up, I answered,
"What the fuck is the deal, Irving? We have reporters calling us about zombies."
"I was hoping to get a hold of you before that. The call started at the station about a half hour ago. Someone leaked something somewhere, and now half the world of media is on its way to report on the zombies of Shalorna Island," he replied with frustration.
"They're coming here?"
I rubbed my forehead to stave off a quickly forming headache.
"Oh, yeah," Irving answered. "I was hoping Freya could help us with that."
"Sure, here," I said, handing the phone to Freya.
"Hi, Irving, what's up?"
she answered, and wandered away to the kitchen to make coffee. I slid into some jeans and followed her. As I entered the kitchen, she turned and handed my phone back.
"Your turn again."
"Hey, it's Steven," I answered.
"We have another issue. The town is freaking out again. They all have reporters calling them too. Any way you guys could help like you did last time? Any chance Veda is with you?" he asked hopefully.
"Are they meeting?"
I asked, letting out another sigh.
"Everyone is on their way now," he answered.
"We'll be there," I said, and hung up.
Freya handed me a cup of pour-over and leaned against the counter.
"Where will we be?"
"Town meeting. Let's go. We have to keep the people from losing their minds," I said, taking a sip.
"Wow, I'm kinda surprised it's taken them as long as it has since the last meeting, regardless of how convincing Veda was."
She giggled.
"I'll go get the girls."
When we walked in the back door of the town hall,
it was even more chaotic than the previous meeting. People were shouting and waving their hands. Irving was at the podium, trying his best to calm people down, but was having little success.
"Do you know what is causing dead bodies to appear from the sea, shrivel and die in terror?"
an older, heavy-set woman yelled at him.
"You can't tell me there's no way it's an illness. What if we all get it?"
"But ma'am," Irving replied, "nobody in town has been affected. It has been determined that the strange deaths are associated with..."
I prayed in my mind that he wouldn't say what he was about to.
"Poison."
He said it. The crowd was in an uproar instantly, and people shouted all manner of questions at him.
"Who is poisoning us? What if they start putting it in the water? We'll all be dead soon. What are you going to do?"
Sophie, who had surprisingly stayed in her human form to come with us, gently put her hand on my arm.
"I've got this. The poor guy looks like he's about to have a stroke."
She wasn't wrong. Irving's face was red and sweaty, and his eyes shifted back and forth across the crowd, not even sure where to look. Sophie let go of me and slowly made her way up the crowded middle aisle of chairs to join him at the podium. She whispered something to him, and he stepped aside with the most grateful expression I'd ever seen on a man. Then Sophie stood directly in front of the podium, put both hands up to the crowd, curled her lips, and let out a whistle that could have shattered glass had it continued. Everyone went silent, and most held their hands over their ears. She stopped the whistling, and before anyone had a chance to continue their protest, she yelled,
"I am going to prove to you right now that what you are hearing, imagining, and making up in your head is a bunch of bullshit."
I looked at Freya.
"What is she doing? I'm not sure I would have started off quite that insulting."
"I have no clue, but apparently she has a plan," Freya replied, giggling and settling in for the show.
Sophie took a moment to smooth her skirt and look out over the crowd.
"You are being told by slimy reporters that we have zombies, or an outbreak, or who knows what. You see strange, shriveled bodies, and we have a damn mystery ship sitting in the harbor. Understandably, your little brains don't know what to think."
My mouth dropped open at her blatantly condescending tone.
"Now, I want you to watch me very closely. Watch me as closely as you do those shriveled bodies you've come across," she shouted.
By the time I realized what she was going to do, she'd already started. Her head arched back slightly, and she stretched her arms down by her sides. Fur began to grow all over her body. She slowly crouched down to the floor and got on all fours. That is when her body began to mold itself into a different form. There was a disturbing bit of cracking as her bones rearranged themselves, but she wasn't in any sort of pain. She laid down for the end of her shift, which took less than a minute. When she was fully canine, she stood up and shook off the clothes that hung off her. The people of Shalorna drooled on themselves in disbelief. They stood, rooted in place, standing in front of their chairs, staring at Sophie. She turned to them and let out an ear-splitting bark, which made them jump so high, I was sure at least some of them had to have peed their pants. She immediately laid back down.
"Has she lost her damn mind?" I asked Freya. "She's going to shift back too! Fuck!"
I started pushing my way through the crowd, peeling off my overshirt as I kept my eyes rooted on the stage, hoping I'd get to her in time. Her body completely molded itself back into her human form just as I reached the stage and threw my shirt over her bottom half. Her fur had disappeared just as I covered her top half with her own shirt that I picked up off the floor.
"Thank you,"
she told me, smiling sweetly.
"What the fuck are you doing?"
I whispered, terror ringing out.
"Don't worry, you'll see,"
she said, winking at me.
"Here, block me for a second so I can slip into these."
Sophie managed to get her shirt and skirt on without exposing herself to the crowd, and then stood up behind me.
"Thank you. I've got it from here."
I reluctantly walked away, but only to the first row of chairs. The town was starting to come out of their shock, and who knew how they were going to react? Sophie didn't give them a chance, though.
I assume you all saw me turn into a beautiful German shepherd? She asked the crowd.
The townspeople looked at each other as if for confirmation that they'd all seen the same thing, and then nodded at Sophie.
Good! That means you all saw me turn back into a human too, right? She went on.
Again, a nod from the crowd, who seemed afraid to talk.
Now, how many of you in this room believe that I'm some shape-shifting dog girl? She asked very seriously.
Everyone just stared at her. Slowly, one by one, hands started to raise.
Did she really just tell everyone here she is a shapeshifter?
Veda's voice whispered in my ear. She joined me up front and sounded just as worried as every fiber of my being felt.
Sounds that way, I whispered back. She didn't just tell them, she fucking showed them.
Sophie smiled at the crowd.
Okay, good. Most of you believe that I am a shapeshifter. Now, I'm going to tell you that you are wrong.
My brow instantly furrowed.
How is she going to convince them of that now?
Veda just shook her head slowly as a young teenager three chairs down from me cleared his throat.
But we just saw you turn into a dog and back into a human?
Yes, you did. But does that make me a shapeshifter?
Sophie answered with a question.
Well, yes, the boy replied softly.
Actually, no,
Sophie said. She looked back to the crowd.
It makes me a very, very gifted contortionist.
A murmur flew through the crowd and quickly picked up volume. The teenager stepped forward a little and said,
But you had fur and barked?
Now the fur will get you every time, won't it? That is just a little trick with the clothes. You can ask Mr. Fenlon right there. You all saw him help me with my clothes and thought I was naked because you assumed you just saw me turn into a dog and back, she lied pleasantly.
The entire town looked at me for confirmation. I plastered a knowing smile on my face and nodded my head like I was in on the magic show.
And, Sophie yelled out with more power, as for the bark,
she straightened up, tilted her head back, and barked. It was as loud and clear as it had been when she was in canine form. She calmly looked at the townsfolk again.
It's just something I've always been able to do. You see, you latched onto me being a shapeshifter the moment I mentioned it to you. Now, once I tell you that I'm not, you had arguments, trying to prove your point, even though you know I couldn't possibly be a shapeshifter.
She rolled her eyes dramatically.
They don't exist! So now that I've shown you I'm not some dog girl, you can see how me appearing to shapeshift influenced you incorrectly, yes?
Sophie stood still and waited for her words to sink in. The townies whispered furiously with each other. The teenager stepped forward once again.
Ma'am, you can't contort the bones in your face, though.
Oh,
she said, as though she'd forgotten.
I didn't. You saw a dog form covered with fur and heard it bark. You never looked at my face directly, did you?
The boy thought long and hard and slowly shook his head before stepping back. Sophie put her hands up once again to stop the whispering that time.
The deaths in this town are not related to an illness. As Detective Irving told you, they are somehow related to poison. What you didn't give him a chance to tell you is that the poison is injected via an intravenous needle. They were given the toxin in an IV. You have nothing to fear from the ship or its passengers. The situation is being dealt with, and you are all safe.
The crowd started buzzing again, but there was a giant shift in tone and energy. Relief and agreement flooded the air. Sophie nodded at them slowly and continued.
As for the reporters, they are simply being reporters. In fact, I have a feeling all this will be taken care of before they even get down here. How fun would it be, to the business owners of you, to take the money from reporters who end up being plain old tourists because they get here and see there is no story?
People started clapping instantly. The idea of pulling one over on the people who were scaring them was like a drug to the crowd. Sophie walked over to Irving and whispered in his ear again. Then came to me.
My work here is done.
I escorted her through the room, and we exited the back door. Veda followed us out, but I didn't see Freya or Delaney anywhere. Where did the other two go?
They went to the agency. Something about making sure the reporters and news crews can't make it onto the island, Veda informed me. She turned to Sophie. Have you lost every brain cell in your head?
Sophie laughed.
Get your panties out of a twist. It worked, didn't it? There are some advantages to being the thing you are told all your life doesn't exist. Why not use them?
She jumped in the passenger seat of the van, giggling all the way, while Veda climbed in the back, worry sticking to her face. Once in the driver's seat, I turned to Sophie. That is the first and the last time you will ever do that, understand? You are going to have every kid in Chelorna begging to invite you to their next freaking birthday party. Sophie burst out laughing, and Veda even broke a smile.
Yes, sir,
Sophie agreed. Now that we have that settled, let's get to the agency and help Freya. She must be running around like a chicken with her head cut off. The faster we get her out of there, the faster we can go after the thing that is panicking the whole damn town. I started the end.